रखे तुम्हें?
जी दोनों तरफ से।
আমি বুঝলাম স্যার, আমার ফুল বেঁচে
আল্লাহু আকবার, আল্লাহু আকবার, আল্লাহু আকবার, আশহাদু হায় আলা الفلاح الله أكبر
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ اشہد اللہ الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين الحمد لله
Huzoor says that Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. After a long period of wait, Jamaat Ahmadiyya Norway have been unable to inaugurate this beautiful mosque. In the way that the construction of this mosque took a long time, in the same way, due to various obstacles that were faced, all of you had to wait some time for the traditional inauguration of the mosque to occur. However, this formal inauguration is actually an expression of gratitude in front of the world. Otherwise, these customary and formal inaugurations have no link, so to speak, with the construction of the mosque, that without the traditional inauguration, the construction of the mosque could not be deemed complete. Therefore, my coming here today, my leading of the Jummah prayers, the Friday prayers, my delivering of the khutbah, the sermon, my involvement in the evening, inshallah, God enabling, in the function with a non-Muslim and non-Ahmadi guest, the inaugural function. All of this is out of expressing our gratitude to Allah the Almighty for the favor He has granted Jamaat Ahmadiyya Norway in the shape of this mosque. This is also a commandment of Allah the Almighty that His rewards, His blessings, we should relate them and be grateful for them. So that as a result of being grateful for all of this, that gratitude that emanates from the heart of a believer for Allah the Almighty, that out of that, Allah the Almighty makes us the recipient of further rewards and blessings. One source of gratitude will be carried out by us performing prayers in this mosque and populating it. Another form of our gratitude will also be through that outward expression of gratitude, which will be carried out in the form of the reception for guests, as is called the inaugural function or session. However, the true form of gratitude is fulfilling the due of populating this mosque. Therefore, this significant factor every Ahmadi must keep as his guiding principle. Allah the Almighty, as a result of this gratitude, will not leave you empty-handed. In fact, the return that Allah the Almighty provides is so large that a person cannot even imagine and envisage this in this world. In one hadith regarding such people who, to populate mosques, to fulfill the obligation of the mosque, go to the mosques. Regarding such people, this has been mentioned in the hadith where Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that he who goes to the mosque in the morning and evening, Allah the Almighty in heaven prepares the provisions for his hospitality. Therefore, for the sake of Allah the Almighty, for those who come to the mosque, provisions for their hospitality are being prepared in heaven. Daily, five times a day, the provisions are being arranged for hospitality. Further, those people who live to the age of 40, 50 or 60, and they go on performing their prayers during this time. So, for such guests who perform prayers their entire lives up to that age, how much preparations Allah would be making for their hospitality in heaven. This is beyond the imagination of a person to envisage. In the world, when a guest who is very dear to us calls upon us, then as soon as we find out this guest is coming to see us, immediately we begin preparations for his visit. And the extent to which we have a bond of friendship and love with that guest, to that same extent, we try to make preparations and arrangements for his visit. We have limited provisions and means, but Allah, whose provisions and resources are limitless, whose mercy knows no bounds, and also His hospitality is unlimited, then how must Allah the Almighty, for those who worship Him, be preparing the provisions for their hospitality? This is something that a person cannot envisage or imagine. Therefore, we should strive to search out the means of such opportunities of hospitality. I hope that every Ahmadi who resides here with this way of thinking will fulfill the obligation and due of this mosque, inshallah, God enabling. so that the right of this duty and obligation, where on the one hand will strengthen the relationship with Allah and will become the means of making that person the beloved of Allah, there on the other hand it will remind them towards fulfilling the rights due to other fellow human beings. So in short, a believer, for the sake of attaining the heaven of the afterlife and the hospitality that will be provided there, he tries to make this life heaven-like. And as I stated, there should also be an outward form of expression of gratitude. That outward form of gratitude is an attempt to establish that beautiful, peaceful society that makes this life and world paradise-like as well. In the past 2 days, I was interviewed by representatives of the radio, TV and newspapers. They took these interviews at various occasions. In these interviews, apart from the different questions that were posed, they also took interest in the following, that what will be the purpose of this mosque? And why was this mosque actually built? What will occur within the mosque, and what are your sentiments upon the completion of this mosque? So my reply was this, that to make the environment peaceful, to foster mutual sentiments of love and affection, to make this life and world paradise-like, alongside the worship of the one God, to demonstrate the beautiful teachings of Islam in our own lives, and by doing so, to make the world an abode of love, affection and harmony. This is the purpose of this mosque. In short, along with the construction of this mosque, in the environment of this mosque, in the environment and atmosphere of this society, city and country, to foster love and affection is the work of the Ahmadis residing here to an even greater extent than before. The media coming here, taking interviews, the newspaper, radio, etc., to relate the construction of this mosque in a positive light, then, as I said, this inclines us to becoming even more grateful. And this is exactly the direction that it should take us. Allah the Almighty, in return for your sacrifices, has also provided that return in the following way, that the media's attention have been drawn towards us. And generally speaking, the media have mentioned the Jamaat and the mosque in a positive manner. So therefore, on a worldly level and perspective as well, the mention of the sacrifices of the righteous people of the Jamaat, that should once again take us towards being grateful. Then, by fulfilling the right of this gratefulness, a person becomes a recipient of further blessings and bounties of Allah. In short, this is such a cycle and circle of blessings that does not remain limited to its circle. In fact, like the circle or cycle of waves, it goes on expanding. If you throw a pebble or something else into the water, it forms a circle. The circle goes on expanding and it goes on expanding until it becomes a large circle. However, this circle also possesses the following quality, that when the circle reaches its peak or climax, it does not end. Rather, if a person performs pious deeds, his circle goes on expanding. And when his life ends, then in the afterlife, Allah the Almighty goes on expanding that circle. Therefore, this mosque, for those who populate it, for those who come into it, has also brought provisions of incredible bounties, favors and blessings. And every mosque we construct, this is the purpose of it, that it should bring incredible amounts of blessings and graces. Now, to maintain and cater for the blessing and graces and favors, it is the responsibility of those residing here. That degree to which you make efforts to maintain this, to that same degree you will go on receiving blessings and graces, both in this life and in the afterlife. In the Holy Quran, one verse mentions the people who populate the mosques. This is the verse that I recited earlier, and the translation of this verse is as follows: that He alone can keep the mosques of Allah in a good and flourishing condition, who believes in Allah and the last day, and who observes prayer and pays the zakat, and who fears none but Allah. So these it is who may be among those who will be counted amongst the guided ones. Now the condition of belief in Allah is the most important and significant condition. It has been placed first. It is not sufficient to just verbally profess this belief. In fact, Allah the Almighty has mentioned certain signs of faith and also a believer. To just be included within Islam does not make one a believer. Until that point, when a person does not strive to act in the way a believer does. When the Bedouins of Arabia came, and they would say that we have believed, and Allah the Almighty, addressing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Kul lam tu'minu, walakin kulu aslamna." That do not say that you have believed. In fact, say that outwardly, on the surface, we have accepted Islam and we have decided to submit. And the sign of belief has been told as follows: that you truly follow Allah and His Messenger. Today, amongst the non-Ahmadi Muslims, we are made the target that we are not Muslims, whereas we are those who, whilst obeying Allah and His Messenger, have accepted the Imam of this time. And this perfect and complete obedience makes us into strong Muslims and real believers. Although other Muslim sects, they may go on calling us non-Muslims. However, because of this obedience to Allah and because of this commandment of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are firm believers. Today, Ahmadis are made the target of cruelty and oppression, yet still, they do not deviate from Ahmadiyyat. So therefore, are we true Muslims or the others? We do not call anybody who professes the Kalama, the Muslim creed, as a non-Muslim, but we do surely say that the Holy Quran has called that person a true Muslim who obeys in every single manner and also strives to strengthen his faith. And he goes on strengthening his faith. Every single day becomes a means of his faith being strengthened. And as long as we strive in this regard, as long as we make efforts to increase in piety and righteousness, as long as we make efforts to tread on that path taught by Allah and His Messenger, we will be counted amongst those who are believers and true Muslims. So therefore, no edict of any Maulvi or any decision or decree of any government will give us any certificate of a believer or being a true Muslim. Neither do we need any sort of certificate, neither do we require anything of this kind. The real stamp on our faith will be sealed through our striving to follow the commands of Allah and His Messenger. To the extent that we make the effort to strive in this regard, to that extent will the stamp be sealed on our faith. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, says, "The acts of a true Muslim that make him the recipient of the rewards and blessings is not only that he carries out just one or two pious deeds. In fact, he strives to carry out all amal saliha, righteous deeds, and is reminded towards this, it is then that a person can be deemed a true believer. Hazur says, so therefore we should not become delighted and pleased only by this, that we have accepted the Imam of this time and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and that this alone is sufficient. Perhaps, in comparison to other Muslims, in obedience to Allah and His Messenger, we have taken one step forward. But this entire life is a constant struggle in search of the pleasure of Allah and a strengthening of the faith. And this is the purpose of man's creation, as has been taught by Allah, that worship Allah and go on strengthening and increasing in that worship. So therefore, a believer cannot sit idle. The qualities of a believer that Allah has expounded. I shall present a few of these before you. Allah the Almighty states that the biggest sign of a believer is that ashaddu hubba lillah, that most of all, he loves Allah. This is something that even a person who has no connection with religion, he is even aware that when you love someone intensely, then you are prepared to do everything and anything for him. Therefore, a Muslim, when he claims to believe and to have faith, then his love for Allah the Almighty, that should take precedence over all other loves. The wealth of the world, the glamour and the attraction of the world, the engagements of the world, your children, your wife, your family, all of these things in comparison to the love of Allah becomes insignificant. And this is exactly how it should be. And when this love for Allah fosters in this manner, then the worship of such a person who acts in this way, his worship will become pure. He will also be inclined towards worship. And this will especially incline him towards this. And when he is inclined towards worship, then inshallah, God enabling, this mosque, this prayer center, wherever they may be, and any mosques that are built or constructed in the future, they will remain populated. And those people who populate it will be called true worshippers. When in our own heart, we will be expressing love for Allah, then our children, our progeny, they will be affected and impacted by this. Many people write to me for prayers for their children. But we have to show our own examples and models. And when, as a result, this impact infuses into the children of ours, then generation after generation will be infused with the spirit and they will populate the mosques. And this is a duty and an obligation upon us. That this love of Allah, where on the one hand we infuse that love within ourselves and where we strive for this to be fostered in us, there on the other hand we need to give a taste of that love to our children and to our progeny and generations. When this occurs, and inshallah, God enabling, these oppositions and these efforts by those who oppose us, with the grace of Almighty Allah, they will die away themselves. Because when a person loves Allah the Almighty, then Allah the Almighty in return loves him to a much greater extent. And he becomes the master and the friend of that person. And that person whose friend is Allah, these short-term and temporary oppositions can cause him no harm whatsoever. Some vagabonds or other people incited by elders, some young children who throw stones and, for example, break the windows, or who throw rubbish, these people will either get fed up and be defeated and sit down themselves, or witnessing the connection that you have with Allah, The good-natured people amongst them will themselves join you, inshallah, God enabling. Therefore, as I stated, the making of this mosque is not the end of your work. In fact, after this, you need to give further attention towards your own state and you need to assess your own condition. You need to look at the level of your love with Allah the Almighty, and you also need to express love for your society so that the world knows and the world is aware that for the sake of the love of Allah, those who offer sacrifices never fail. Therefore, throwing these stones or throwing rubbish or raising these slogans have never been an obstacle to the progress of those who are of Allah, and it never will be. The first sign, therefore, of those who populate mosques is that they love Allah. And they go on strengthening in their faith and in their belief. Then Allah the Almighty states that there is another sign of a believer, that when they are called towards Allah and His Messenger, then their reply is Sami'na wa ata'na. In other words, we hear and we obey. Regarding those who reply Sami'na wa ata'na, it is said that ulaika humul muflihun, that these will be those who are successful. So success is a result of this. And this is a result of obeying and hearing those commands that have been set by Allah. And this hearing and obeying is for all of those matters, the do's and don'ts of which have been included in the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran states, for example, that discharge the right of your trust. Your trusts are a responsibility upon you. Just like a responsibility is placed upon you, a person tries to fulfill that responsibility. Similarly, a trust placed upon you is also a responsibility that has been assigned to you. And you have been commanded to do this. There are office holders. Then, giving time to the Jamaat and also to fulfill the measures of justice and to fulfill their obligations with this, to try to discharge the rights of the members of the Jamaat. All of these things are included in that. An office holder is not an office holder of the world who is going to work upon his power or worldly authority. In fact, he is a khadim, a servant. This is mentioned in the hadith that the leader of a nation is a servant of that nation. So therefore, we need to infuse this spirit and this sentiment. It is only then that that service that has been entrusted to you, you will be able to discharge it. When some people come to me and say that I hold this and this post, that I generally say to them that you should rather say that this service has been assigned to me. Other people may say that you are an office holder, but you yourself should consider that you are a servant. And you should consider that it is a favor of Allah the Almighty that He has given you this opportunity to serve. Because by saying that this is an office or a post, it changes the connotation and way of thinking. It gives an air of superiority. And the way this gives this impression of superiority is that the person starts thinking as if he is a certain kind of officer and superior, whereas officers of the Jamaat are actually khadim, servants. And when office holders will discharge the right of their trust, it is then that they will be true assistants of the Khalifa. Respect and regard of the office holders of the Jamaat is the duty and obligation most surely of the members of the Jamaat. But the only reason that members of the Jamaat do this is because they have a connection with Khilafat. And they feel that if they disobey any office holders, it may anger the Khalifa. So therefore, it is necessary for the office holders on every strata and at every level that they need to properly and suitably discharge the right of their trust. Every office holder's demeanor, his way of talking, his standard of worship, it should be distinctive compared to other people. There are office holders of Lajna. Then, for example, there is one commandment of the Holy Quran of Parda. They should pay regard to this. Otherwise, they would not be discharging the right of their trust. There are other commandments, but one additional commandment for women is for Parda. Regarding Norway, complaints about the level of Parda are received from time to time. Hadrat Khalifa Masih Salis, may Allah be pleased with him, sternly warned regarding this at one time. Similarly, Hadrat Khalifa Masih Rabe, the fourth Khalifa, also went on explaining. But if you as well, that is those who are the office holders, if you are not living up to the standard of Parda, if men and women are freely mixing, if you are visiting each other's home freely without parda, whereas you have no relationships with them, only because you consider that that person is like my brother, or that person is like my uncle, or something of the sort. So this is why I do not need to observe the parda. Or somehow you join up relations with other people whereas they are not. So the Holy Quran rejects this, and a believing woman has been instructed by the Holy Quran that parda and hijab, they are obligatory upon you. The demonstration of modesty is one of your distinguishing features. If at every level of Lajna office holders, that is, whether they are local, regional or national office holders of Lajna, if these office holders observe parda properly and their mannerism is according to Islamic teachings, then a majority or a large proportion of the Lajna will become role models, both for their children and also for the society and surroundings around them. The right of the trust of a Lajna office holder will only be fulfilled at that point that alongside her parda she fulfills the other obligations. I sometimes can decipher the condition of people's parda when they come from mulaqat. From their way that they wear the niqab, it seems as if they have not worn the niqab for a very long time. They have difficulty in wearing it. Thus, office holders and also a normal Ahmadi woman, it is obligatory upon them that they fulfill the right of their trust. Some people in the self-concocted ways of thinking, those people who have modern ways of thinking, say that parda is not required, or that the hijab is not required, and that this is an outdated commandment. But I should clarify that no commandment of the Holy Quran is outdated, nor are the commandments of the Holy Quran assigned for only a specific period of time or a specific people. Both Ahmadi men and women express their love and connection with Khilafat most happily and most readily. Where Allah the Almighty has commanded in the Holy Quran that Khilafat would remain forever, there He has linked this with Amal-e-Saliha, righteous deeds, and He has also connected this with worship. Where this verse is in Surah An-Nur, two verses before this, it is said that do not claim that we will do this and we will do that. In fact, it says that ta'atum ma'rufa, that what is required is actual obedience. Such obedience that what is right, obey in every single of those matters that are in accordance with the Holy Quran and the Messenger of Allah. So whatever is said in this regard, obey it. Obey according to this. Whenever the command of Allah and the Messenger are presented, then immediately comply with that. Regarding this, on many occasions I have plainly and openly explained this. So therefore, alongside men, women should also elevate their ranks of worship. They should strive to increase their faith. And those commandments that are specific for women, strive to implement those as well. Here, I should also clarify that regarding barzakh, the commandment to cover yourself is there for women, but to keep your glances cast down and to refrain from being too informal, these commandments are for both men and for women. In fact, the commandment to keep your glances cast down has been given first to men and then to women. And this is so that men do not roam around casting immodest glances. Then, included amongst trust is a correct use of votes wherever the votes must be used. Then, in this era, there is the right of fulfilling the Pledge of Allegiance, the bet with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. We also need to understand this. Allah the Almighty has said most clearly and explicitly that whoever has any trust assigned to him, he will be held to account about it. Then Allah the Almighty, amongst the pious and righteous deeds, has also included refraining from being arrogant and also adopting humbleness and humility. Usually the disputes and quarrels that take place here are a result of arrogance and pride. If a person keeps on reviewing his own position, his own status, then he will always be humble and full of humility. And this assessment and review of one's position and status, a person can best do this himself, because sometimes when other people say this, then a person minds and does not like this. But if you assess yourself, then this is the best method. Assess and scrutinize your own state and do it responsibly with the Holy Quran's commands in view. If you have the fear of Allah, and most surely every single Ahmadi has a fear of Allah within him, then all you need to do is to jolt your consciousness, and when this occurs, you can very easily assess and analyze your own selves. So therefore, whilst reading the Holy Quran, get into the habit of reflecting upon the commands of Allah. Today, in this short time, I cannot present all the commands of Allah before you. Every single person himself, as I stated, needs to self-assess and self-analyze himself. And this can only occur when in every household, recitation of the Holy Quran is occurring regularly, and people are trying to understand it and are striving to implement its commands. When supervision of children is occurring, that are they giving attention towards prayers? Are they giving attention towards reading the Holy Quran? Every single Ahmadi who claims to believe, he should remember that this claim of belief will be completed and perfected when you also believe in the last day, and you believe, and you also know most surely that after death there is another life, where all the actions that one performs in this life will be accounted for, and where the final decision will be made, where the decision between punishment and reward will be made. So therefore, Allah the Almighty has also given a sign for the believers who populate the mosque, that they also believe in the afterlife. And they firmly believe in this accountability on the last day. And when they firmly believe in this, and when they strive to fulfill the right of the mosque, then they also make efforts to fulfill all the other commands of Allah, so that they can become the recipients of the bounties, the favors, and rewards of Allah. And then it says that when your faith in Allah is completed and perfected, and when a person remains established on this belief, that he would have to pass through this phase of accountability, then a person devotedly would submit before Allah. and with all his attention he would worship Allah. It is said in the hadith that the best form of worship is the formal prayer. When the jamaat of the believers gathers for prayer, then where the oneness of Allah is expressed, there pious and righteous sentiments for each other and also mutual connections and also unity are also all demonstrated and expressed. And then inclination is drawn towards performing all those righteous deeds that are related to the right of Allah or the right of His creation. And to fulfill the right of spreading Allah's message and also fulfill the right of creation, for this resources and means are required. Therefore, those who populate mosques, Allah the Almighty, mentioning the actions of such people, has also mentioned this important aspect that they give zakat, that they are those who give financial sacrifices. They do not keep their wealth for only themselves. In fact, to fulfill the right of the faith and also the creation, they spend out of their wealth. Here the word zakat has been used. And on other occasions and in other places, alongside the establishment and offering of prayer, general financial sacrifices have been mentioned in the Holy Quran, so that where religious requirements are fulfilled, there the deprived section of society's needs are also fulfilled. So therefore, the making of the mosques and those who populate the mosques are those whose every aspect of their life is purely for the pleasure of Allah. In their heart is the fear of Allah the Almighty. This is out of that love that they have for Allah. And then this fear takes him further towards righteousness and piety. It is such people who are established in guidance. And it is such people who Allah the Almighty counts amongst the guided people. With the grace of Almighty Allah, the Norway Jamaat have given great sacrifices. And for Masjid Nasr, Jamaat Ahmadiyya Norway have borne the expenditure of approximately 104 million krone. Some expenditure was borne by the Merkaz, the center, but the rest of the expenditure was covered and borne by the Jamaat. But as I said at the beginning, this took a long time to complete. In 2005, I drew the attention of the Jamaat here towards this because less attention was being shown towards this. So then immediately they were inclined towards this. Somebody sold their house and then fulfilled the due and wrote to me that I am selling my house. Somebody sold their car and gave the expenditure to the mosque in this regard. Somebody worked extra so that the house of Allah could be constructed and so that he could give as much janda as possible. Women also gave sacrifices with the grace of Almighty Allah. There were some people who, despite being without any work, they fulfilled their promises. May Allah the Almighty to all those people who gave sacrifices give great blessings into their work and into their lives. Nowadays, due to the circumstances, their businesses are affected. May Allah the Almighty bless them in this regard. I hope, I expect that all these sacrifices were given with this thinking, that we are to populate and to fill this mosque, and that we are to populate this mosque in that manner that Allah the Almighty has taught us, that we will strive to perfect and complete our faith, that we will develop the fear of Allah within us, that we will consider fulfilling the rights due to mankind. We will attain the levels of performing amal-e salihah, righteous deeds. We will infuse the love of Allah and the mosque in our children. Similarly, in this time, Allah the Almighty has bestowed us with this great favor. by sending this true great lover of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, therefore to strengthen his hand, to further his mission, we should strive as well in this regard. That we need to make efforts to fulfill the right of conveying that message, that we need to give inclination towards da'wat alillah, invitation to Allah. So as I said before, a great responsibility is being placed upon us by the building of this mosque. After this mosque has been constructed, we have expanded our responsibilities to a great degree. If we are not able to discharge this responsibility, then we may be deprived of the love of Allah. May Allah never let it happen that this be so. So where this mosque is a source of great happiness for us, that this is the first Ahmadiyya mosque built in Norway. At the same time, this is a matter of great concern for us. May Allah enable that every single Ahmadi keeps this concern in view and becomes one who discharges his responsibilities and duties, that he fulfills all his obligations by contributing large amounts of monies, this mosque that has been constructed and has been beautified. Hundreds and thousands of corona have been used. Somebody contributed the carpet for the mosque. Somebody spent hundreds of thousands to contribute the furniture for the mosque. Somebody gave all the furniture for the mosque complex. This should not be a one-off sacrifice, or one should not become happy by just giving one sacrifice. Seeing all this beautiful furniture and all the beautiful arrangements and decor, one should not, seeing all of this, believe that this alone is sufficient. In fact, we need to be those who maintain the true beauty of this, which can be established through performing the 5 daily prayers. On one occasion, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in front of him, people were discussing the construction of mosques. So the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says the true beauty of mosques does not lie in its buildings. In fact, it lies with those people who pray in the mosques with sincerity. Otherwise, all these mosques are abandoned and deserted. Hazur says at that time, the promised Messiah, the mosques were deserted. So he says further that the mosque of the Holy Prophet was small. Through the palm of the date branch, a roof was made, and when it rained, the water would leak through. The real splendor of the mosque is through those who pray. During the time of the Holy Prophet, the worldly people made a mosque. According to God's command, this mosque was demolished. The name of this mosque was Masjid Zarar, that is, the harmful mosque. This mosque was demolished into rubbles. Regarding mosques, there is a commandment that they should be made for taqwa. So Hazur says, therefore, it is taqwa that we need to develop within ourselves. And the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has again and again expressed this development of taqwa. In one place, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that the Quran gives the teaching of taqwa alone. And that is the purpose of this. If the taqwa of a person, or if a person does not adopt taqwa, then his prayers are useless and worthless, and they can be the key to hell. Hazur says, so the promised Messiah ﷺ says, if you do not possess taqwa, then your prayers are of no use. Those prayers instead will take you towards hell. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, then says that the root of everything is taqwa and purity. This is how faith starts. And this is how the faith is irrigated. Hazur says that faith is ascertained from taqwa, and faith grows also through taqwa. In other words, just like you give plants water to make it grow, similarly, through taqwa, the plant of faith grows, and selfish sentiments are suppressed. And Allah the Almighty established this movement for taqwa. Hazur says this is a great responsibility that has been placed upon us. So the promised Messiah ﷺ says further, the field of taqwa is empty. That person who adopts taqwa is with us. Hazur says that always we should keep this in view, that we need to discharge our pledge of bayt, our pledge of allegiance, and to perform those prayers that are treading on taqwa. Today it is Ahmadis alone who, by bonding with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, can attain this spiritual knowledge. So therefore, if we have claimed to take the bet, the pledge of allegiance, and we do not strive to fill that empty field of taqwa, then we cannot be those who fulfill the purpose of the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Because as he, peace be upon him, said, that Allah the Almighty established this movement for the sake of taqwa. Hazur says that may Allah make it so that every single Ahmadi understands this significant responsibility. In these countries which are the hub of shirk, of setting up partners with Allah, if we do not discharge our responsibilities with taqwa, if we do not recognize the purpose of our bayt, our pledge of allegiance, then in the eyes of Allah, we will be held to account or question. May Allah have mercy upon us. And may Allah the Almighty keep us counted amongst those people upon whom His loving eye is cast upon. Here, I will also provide some details regarding the construction and completion of Masjid Nasr. The total size of the mosque plot is 9,563 square meters. The size of the mosque plot itself is 7,759 square meters. In the men's side of the mosque, that is 880 square meters. Approximately 1,400 people can worship on this side of the mosque. The gallery is 298 square meters and 500 people can fit there. In the ladies' side, there is room for 850 worshippers. A hall has also been made behind. This was made at the very beginning. This remained there for a long time without any other further construction. This can accommodate 850 worshippers. Then there is also an apartment or missionary house. There are three bedrooms, a drying room. It is a self-contained house, mashallah. Similarly, further details of Masjid Nasr are as follows. That altogether, 2,250 people can perform their prayers in this mosque complex. Then the hall below, the roof is also being used as a terrace. Weather permitting, then if there is rush, more than 800 people can also say their prayers there. The height of the minaret is 21 meters. The height of the dome is 5 meters. There is also a library there. There are offices there of both the auxiliary organizations and also the central and markers. On the ladies' side of the mosque, they have their own library. They also have their own offices there below. There is a large kitchen. Mashallah, it is quite big. In the same way, for a long time, we were not receiving permission to build this mosque. There was some problems we faced with the council. There was an issue of building a road on the side. Jamaat Ahmadiyya, for the benefit and for the advantage of people, they made this side road. So as I stated, 104 million was spent on this. Our mosque is located on the main road which goes to the Oslo airport. Whoever comes and goes to the city passes by this mosque and sees this beautiful scene. This is on the E6 motorway. On a daily basis, 80,000 cars pass on this road. There are also underground services and also bus connections available from here. In short, this is a central location that Allah the Almighty has granted to the Jamaat. May Allah make it so that those who populate the mosque hold that same sentiment that most of the Ahmadis here showed in the construction of the mosque. May Allah make it so that this mosque for the people if this city and this environment becomes a mean of opening their hearts. The local people are generally happy, but there are Muslims living in this area, as I said before. Due to the wrong and also cruel allegations, they are involved in opposition. Therefore, as I stated before, that during the time of the construction of the mosque, there were attempts to cause damage. But we carry out work with prayer and patience, and we will inshallah continue in this manner. And for those who attribute themselves to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will continue praying for them that Allah the Almighty brings them towards Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight and right path, and that Allah guides them. In terms of the non-Muslims, they may be happy, but our happiness will only occur when their hearts open up so that they accept Islam. But for this, to spread this message, we would need to make great and intense efforts. We would need to tell the world that with this mosque, as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that where there is a place where nobody knows Muslims and build a mosque, automatically people will be introduced to Islam. So the construction of this mosque proves this, that here Jamaat Ahmadiyya in this area is being introduced, in this country as well. So we would have to tell these people that a mosque is that place where the worship of the one God takes place, and where the true worshippers of God would never want bad for the creation of God. So therefore our mosques everywhere and in all places, including this mosque as well, will always raise the slogan of peace, love and affection. May Allah enable us to fulfill the purpose of the construction of the mosque and to increase and progress in our taqwa and our spirituality. May Allah the Almighty develop love of Him in our heart and give us tranquility of the heart. May every single one of us become role models of love, affection and brotherhood. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in one place that the extent to which you love each other, to that same extent Allah the Almighty will love you. May Allah make it so that we will go on increasing in our love for each other. Because until we do not reach the loftiest heights of mutual love, then we will not be able to convey the true teachings of love to non-Muslims. May Allah grant us the ability to achieve this. After this, I will also announce a very sad news. After the Friday prayers, I will lead the funeral prayer in absentia. This is of Safir Ahmed Bhatt Sahib, son of Hamid Ahmed Bhatt Sahib. He is of Karachi. He was from Sindh and he was born there in 1972. He studied until his FA there. His father, Hafiz Abdul Wahid Sahib, he was in the security of Hadrat Khalifa Tumsi III. May Allah be pleased with him. He was also a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee. Safir Bhatt Sahib was the paternal grandson of Hafiz Abdul Wahid Sahib. And his father was also a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee. His father was a teacher, Hamid Ahmed Bhatt Sahib, in Dali Mahmud Primary School. On the 25th of September, unknown assailants fired at Safir Ahmed Bhatt Sahib, from which he passed away. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. He was in the police, and he was deemed to be of those police who are very brave and very courageous. So he received a phone call, and he left as a result of that, on his motorcycle. There, the route he was taking, he was fired at. For a long time, he was put on special duty in the police against the terrorists, and also against those people who sell drugs. So he was very successful in his schemes against these people. And I feel that as a result of this, he was martyred. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him He shall return. Ahmadis, as a result of Ahmadiyyat, as a result of religion, are martyred in Pakistan. But then generally, the lawlessness that exists in Pakistan, as a result of that, the lives of Ahmadi are in danger. Then there are those Ahmadis who are working in national or government services and institutions, or those people who are working for the betterment of the country. They are being sacrificed for the sake of their country. Despite this, there is a complaint that Ahmadis are not loyal to their country. Wherever the need somebody who is brave, courageous and just, and then an Ahmadi is appointed there. But once a sacrifice is made, then although, for example, the police came and gave him a lot of honor, and according to their traditions and customs, his funeral was led. This person was a Musi, so he was buried in Rabwa. But the ulama and the so-called Muslim scholars, they say the Ahmadis are not loyal to their country, whereas today the true display of loyalty is only shown by Ahmadis. Anyhow, this is our work. We will go on doing this. May Allah the Almighty also give these people understanding and wisdom. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. He is left with children. May Allah the Almighty grant them steadfastness and patience, and also to his wife.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.